This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Aaron is down in Las Vegas at the UFC 300. We've got a packed show today. Lots to talk about. Special guest, Auditor Troy Downing in the house. Auditor Downing, thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me. Happy to be here this, beautiful morning.
Yeah, sun's not even up, but you're here. We're both working. We were just talking about how hard we like to work and how important that is to do.
Well, I got to tell you, being raised in a poor family, you realize if you want anything, you got to work for it, and that's one thing I've done my whole life.
Yep, same here. I was saying I've had a job since I was 10 or 12 years old mowing lawns, and then I got a job delivering the Bozeman Daily Chronicle back before the Bozeman Daily Chronicle was as bad as it is today. Now nobody subscribes to it anymore. But
well, it's weird. Those jobs are going away. I mean, that used to be like an entry level, kids job, and now here, but in Helena, I think they only deliver the paper 3 days a week now, and who knows where that's going.
Right. So first, can you give us an update on what's going on at the auditor's office?
Well, at the auditor's office, for those who don't know, we're a criminal justice agency, and so we do put bad guys in jail. We're out there to protect consumers as we regulate insurance and securities. And, there's been a lot of insurance fraud that we've prosecuted. There was, just recently we worked with the U.S. attorney putting Kylene Hagedone in jail for defrauding folks out in Forsyth, and I think she got four and a quarter years. We had another guy in Helena that got 10 years deferred, and we're out there. But one of the things I think is really interesting is we had a big national insurance company that was taking advantage of Montanans, and after investigating them, we ended up doing one of the largest fines that we've ever levied in my office. It was a $4 million fine against a large insurance company for basically inappropriately applying part of the blame to victims in auto accidents. So it was about $2 million in restitution, about $4 million in fines. So we're out there just making sure we're watching out for folks. And, one other thing, a lot of people may not understand, but we prosecute a lot of financial crime in the securities space. And we found that about 70-75% of the financial, securities fraud that we investigate and prosecute is perpetrated against seniors. So we created a special, we call it our FAST team, a financial abuse specialist team that has investigators and prosecutors that specifically deal with financial crime against seniors. And we're out around the state. We do a lot of outreach trying to, tell people what kind of frauds are out there, what kind of scams are going on, how you can see the red flags, protect yourself, your family, your parents, your grandparents. And, we're just firing on all cylinders there. And, one other thing I just want to talk that I'm particularly proud of in that office is when I first was elected, we had a union in that office, the Montana Federation of Public Employees. I never had a problem with them. But, after a year in office, my employees got together and decertified. And I think I'm one of the first state agencies where the union actually decided it didn't need to exist anymore.
That's fantastic. That's great news. You mentioned the financial fraud. I want to ask you real quick here when we come back about crypto, awesome. Just because that's kind of what it brought to mind. But we'll be right back with Auditor Troy Downing.
Securing America.
As America's military leaders discuss new strategies, equipment, and threats, one foundational principle remains. You can't fight if you can't get your people and equipment where it needs to be. That was the subject of a House Armed Services Subcommittee hearing Thursday, focusing on troop transportation and logistics. Florida Republican Congressman Michael Waltz.
Tyranny of distance will strain everything. Platform, people, material, fuel, logistics, win or lose wars.
California Democrat John Garamendi called for needed modernization and improved communication in aging infrastructure.
Our mobility fleets have been operating without connectivity for decades.
A thought echoed by Air Force General Jacqueline Van Ovost.
We must ensure continuous modernization and recapitalization of the aging fleet to meet the operational requirements of the modern battle space.
The hearing, part of the process to set the defense budget for fiscal year 2025. Kevin Uresky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny to partly cloudy skies, today an isolated afternoon shower storm is possible. High temperature readings from the lower to middle 70s. For tonight, still seeing an isolated shower storm chance early. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies expected. Low temperatures in the mid and upper 40s. And the outlook for Saturday calls for more sunshine and a slight chance for a shower storm in the afternoon. High temperatures, low to mid 70s. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're talking with Auditor Troy Downing here. We were just talking about how your office is doing a lot of financial fraud investigations and prosecutions. That made me think of all the crypto stuff that's going on out there at the national level with SBF and FTX. And I'm just kind of curious if you guys are dealing with any kind of crypto related
stuff. Yeah, we're dealing with a lot of that stuff. And, you know, here's kind of the interesting things about it is when cryptocurrencies first, started, showing up, is the promise was, an anonymous currency, so kind of like cash, nobody's tracing it, that you can move large chunks of money in if you want. And a complete, no central banks, no regulation around it. And so that was kind of the appeal to it. And one of the things that's happened is because it's anonymous and unregulated, we've had some pretty big issues, and it has become, kind of a de facto currency for a lot of scammers. And so we see a lot of that, in the fraud that we investigate. And sometimes it's just used as that medium for making payments. Like here's a prime example. There's a scam going around where this little pop-up will come up on your phone and it'll say, we've installed child pornography on your phone and we're calling the authorities and you're going to get arrested unless you go take $10,000 out of the bank and you go find this crypto ATM and stick it in there, and they'll give them a QR code to read. And when that happened, I'm going, well, geez, how many crypto ATMs are there in Montana? And they're all over the place. I mean, there are so, even in the smallest towns, you'll go into a gas station or go into a drugstore and you'll see one there by the front door. And I'll go ask the folks that are at these places, you ever see somebody use this machine? And usually, yeah, I see somebody in their, mid to late 70s with a stack of $100 bills sticking it in the machine. And I'm going, well, does that seem odd to you? Well, yeah. I'm going, well, that person's being robbed, So there's that part. But I don't want to, cast a completely negative thing over this because, distributed ledgers and, blockchain and a lot of this stuff really is an interesting tool that can be very helpful, especially in, just easily finding ownership, like in title insurance. I mean, it makes sense if you used a distributed ledger where you just knew right away, where the ownership was, where the liens were, all that stuff. There's a awesome opportunity there, but there's also these issues. And so what happened with FTX that you're talking about is they didn't have the ability to run that exchange. That was basically an exchange, like a stock exchange that was trading cryptocurrencies, and it was offshore, so there wasn't really any direct U.S. Regulation on that. And what happened is Sam Bankman-Fried started taking depositor money and making his own bets with it. I mean, could you do that on the New York Stock Exchange? Could you do that on the Amex? No, you could not, because it's very heavily regulated, as it should be, protecting, depositors' money. And so that just obviously went sideways, and, he was found guilty, and probably one of the biggest financial frauds that, we've seen, in our lifetimes here. So it's a, it's a double-edged sword there. And we're still, as regulators, trying to figure out, is this a security? Is this a commodity? What should be the sideboards to make sure that we're protecting consumers while still allowing that innovation to move forward? And it's an right. Interesting balancing act.
Well, and I think what's interesting about it too, and maybe we can transfer a little bit in here into the congressional campaign with this stuff, is I think a reason a lot of people really like cryptos originally is because it's a way to protect themselves against these out of control spending at the federal level that's driving this inflation, the Federal Reserve printing all of these new dollars. I mean, we just got new inflation data this week that showed inflation rising again. Of course, the stock market pretty much crashed. Bond yields went up. And so people are thinking, hey, how do I protect my assets? I don't want to hold dollars.
Those are good questions.
Because the dollars are just getting printed like crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a place where you don't have, a central bank with a bunch of basically monkeys at a switchboard pulling switches that don't really understand the implications of what they're doing. And so there's a lot of distrust there. And believe me, I get it. I mean, one of the biggest things we're facing as a nation right now is just, you know, out of control spending, out of control inflation. Our monetary policy coming down from the feds is basically taking, it's just ripping that American dream away from, you know, the, you know, this current generation and the next one. I mean, the ability to, you know, even do the basic American dream of being able to buy your own home. How many kids that are in high school right now or in college right now or just out of college or just out of the house are going to be able to do that? Because everything's just gotten so expensive and so out of reach. And if we don't start reining that in, you know, I it's going to be very difficult to get that back. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest problems that we're facing as a nation right now.
Nope, I definitely agree. There's all sorts of news about what the Biden administration is doing. There's the story about the trying to expand the background checks. There was a story about the Federal Reserve whistleblower, but a guy who got caught on camera with the guy from Project Veritas, who's out now doing some more of that stuff. And he basically said Jerome Powell is there to try to be the last line of defense against Trump. And then you're seeing all of this horrible, horrible attacks on Tim Sheehy. So much going on out there. I don't know what if you got to take on those sort of stories.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, Biden, you know, on your first story, on the background checks, and you know, there's been a long time war on the Second Amendment from the left, and they just don't understand it. It's funny because I got some hate mail recently because you know, we'd put out a political piece where I was holding an AR, and somebody said, "Well, you know, if you were really about the Second Amendment, you'd be holding a hunting rifle." And going, you do not understand at all what the Second Amendment was. And it's kind of like the argument, well, somebody will say, well, the Second Amendment was written, you know, a time of muzzleloaders. And I'm going, well, it was at a time where that's what the government had, and you needed to protect yourself against a tyrannical government.
Right. I mean, a muzzleloader was a military rifle.
Exactly.
At the time. I saw a tweet recently. Somebody had tweeted out, actually, you can own cannons. And it was a picture of this person standing next to a cannon. We're going to do one more segment here with Auditor Troy Downey. If you want to call in and ask a question, now's the time. We'll be right back.
Liberal Senator John Tester pretends to be just an everyday everyman, but yet he's racked up over $1.2 million in restaurant bills at fancy Washington, D.C. restaurants. You know, I'll tell you what, that's why I'm really glad I went through Billings' last diet. Because, you know, man, I got back from my last deployment. I was putting on the pounds and couldn't get them off. And, you know, the thing is when you get in that lifestyle where you just eat too much, it also gets to be really expensive, especially with the John Tester Biden inflation that we've got going on right now. So thanks to Billings' last diet, not only did I lose 33 pounds in under 3 months, I've kept it off 4 years later, but I'll bet you I've saved a lot of money. I've saved a lot of money where I'm not just going to get fast food because I feel like I need to eat right now. You save money, you lose weight. But more importantly, it's about your health. It's about being around for your kids and your grandkids. Check it out. It's the program that works. BillingsLastDiet.com or call 294-6751.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, the Bureau of Land Management has announced a draft plan to strengthen greater sage-grouse conservation and management on America's public lands. And this month, the agency is holding 11 in-person open house meetings throughout the West to help provide more information on its planning effort. Last night, the first of these meetings kicked off in Billings, Montana, and I talked with the BLM's sage-grouse planning effort director, Quincy Barr out of Utah, about the agency's goal of building on the 2015 and 2019 plans.
The intent here is not to redo what has been done before, but to build on those efforts. There's been a lot of really good work done throughout the West. We wanted to look at that work, look at the body of science that's come out in the last 7 years, and make sure that what we're doing aligns with that science. Are we putting the right priorities where it makes sense to when it comes to the birds? Are we aligned with the best science when it comes to conservation measures, things of that nature?
He also told me that the BLM's main objective is keeping the greater sage-grouse off of the federal endangered species list, and their preferred alternative in the draft EIS does include livestock grazing.
Grazing has a place on the public landscapes. The sagebrush biome, we've shown through literature, can sustain and in instances benefit from livestock grazing. There's also literature that can demonstrate that in certain circumstances, in certain areas, there can be a conflict. We want to implement the measures that would minimize that. We want grazing to be able to continue because as these landscapes are managed in a healthy manner, they'll be able to support both livestock grazing and sagegrass.
Now, the draft environmental impact statement and draft plan amendments open for public comment on March 15th, and that comment period will end on June 13th. In the meantime, for more details about the BLM's sage-grouse planning efforts, as well as to check out more upcoming meetings this month across the West, you can visit us online at westernagnetwork.com or check us out on Facebook. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
It's not just another tub. It's 100 little things or more that make SmartLick different, like feed-through fly control. A swarm of horn flies feed on the blood of cattle thousands of times per day, contributing to stress, weight loss, and poor cattle development. Effective and palatable SmartLick supplements fortified with AltaCid not only provide cattle nutrients they need, but help reduce horn fly populations by breaking the life cycle, preventing biting adult flies. Contact your SmartLick dealer today for information.
Cattlemen, this message is for you. With the record high cattle prices this year, are you going to need to defer some of that income to the next tax year? I'm Aaron Oxart with Montana Livestock Ag Credit, and we can issue an irrevocable standby letter of credit in favor of the seller to secure a deferred contract of your qualified ag commodity sale. You don't have to be a customer to take advantage of this. Give Montana Livestock a call at 1-800-332-3405 to find out more details or check us out at ag-credit.com.
Well, the South Dakota Department of Agriculture and the Animal Industry Board have received confirmation from the USDA of the detection of highly pathogenic avian influenza in a dairy cattle herd in South Dakota. This is the first confirmed case of bird flu in a dairy farm in the state. Now, South Dakota joins other states with confirmed cases like North Carolina, Texas, Kansas, Michigan, Idaho, New Mexico, and Ohio. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We got Auditor Troy Downing in the house. Got a couple more minutes with him. I got a few questions for him, but we're going to go to Nancy in Roundup. First, Nancy, thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, guys. I have a couple of quick comments and then a public announcement to make, and I got to talk fast. I want this gun law, I believe, is unconstitutional, and Biden really doesn't have the authority. I believe that this is the work of deep state, and if everyone noticed when Kamala Harris was talking about it, she used the word forced. We're going to force gun show dealers to do background checks, and if we don't win the election in November, we're going to have this word force. It's going to be in our lives constantly. And about this student loan forgiveness, what is it, $158 billion is going to tax Americans like us? I also believe this is unconstitutional, and I'd like to know if you think that this can be reversed by President Trump when he gets back into the White House. And my public announcement is now is this. Since we're talking about the economy, there's a new store opening up today 6 miles east of Lovina, Montana. It's called the Homestead Ranch Supply. And the reason I want to mention this is that they're going to offer bulk foods, discount groceries, a bunch of livestock equipment, tools, and all kinds of stuff. So they're going to open at 8 o'clock this morning. This is their grand opening. And I'm going to head up to Reigate to do some campaigning today. And on the way back to Roundup, I'm going to visit this discount store, this Homestead Ranch Supply, and check it out for myself. So other than that, God's blessings to everyone. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'll listen off air. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Really, really appreciate the call.
God bless you, and thank you for calling in. I'm just going to really quickly, because that was quite a mouthful there. But first of all, your questions about constitutionality, on the Second Amendment, you know, I'm going to say, you know, the Constitution is one of the, you know, next to the Bible, probably one of the best documents that we have at our disposal, and it needs to be protected, and all of its amendments need to be protected. And if we don't fight back against this crazy radicalization that's going after the Second Amendment, it's going to be going after the First Amendment. Once you've lost that, you have no way of dealing with anything if they just shut you up. So it's something that we need to stand strong on and fight. In terms of your questions about the student loan debt, you know, my question is, Why are they getting special treatment? We've got folks that are paying mortgages, folks that have, you know, business loans, folks that have credit card debt. So why are you selecting that one set? On why do they get that on the backs of all of the taxpayers? It's absolutely unreasonable, and I think that's another thing we need to continue fighting back on.
Amen. Nancy had mentioned, why do the Democrats want to force these gun dealers to do these background checks at gun shows? And the easy answer is Democrats have two policies. One, they want to force you to do something, or two, they want to ban you from doing something. If they like it, they want to force it. If they don't like it, they want to ban it. That's all they do.
And disarm you so you can't fight back.
We'll be right back.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Employees of the U.S. Embassy in Israel and their families are under travel restrictions. There's intelligence that Iran may launch an attack soon.
The Wall Street Journal cites people familiar with the matter as saying that Iran could strike within 24 to 48 hours. Iran's vowed to punish the Jewish state for the deadly assault in Syria that destroyed an Iranian consulate, something Israel has not claimed responsibility for.
Fox's Carmen Roberts. Round two of the Masters Golf Tournament in Georgia is today, with some golfers still finishing up round one because of yesterday's rain delay.
Bryson DeChambeau finished the day as the leader in the clubhouse at 7 under par after shooting a first-round 65. Scottie Scheffler, the winner of the 2022 Masters Tournament, shot a 6 under 66 bogey-free round to end his day one back of DeChambeau.
Fox's Joe Morgan. Pope Francis plans to visit Indonesia, East Timor, Papua New Guinea, and Singapore in September, the longest trip of his papacy. America's listening to Fox News.
Well, we got a few more minutes here left with Auditor Downing, and I did want to give you a chance, Auditor Downing, to give us an update on what's going on in the Eastern District campaign.
Well, you know, we're leading the pack. As we talked about before, I mean, the one thing I know how to do is work, and I work hard. I've got a good team. And I think people are ready for some change, that, you know, people that have actually done something relevant in the private sector, you know, somebody that's built businesses, had to make payroll, had to deal with the things that we all deal with, you know, in our daily lives. And, you know, I've got a business background. I think the other part is understanding what war looks like. You know, I'm a veteran. I went in after September 11th, understanding what that looks like. Congress should be, you know, declaring war. That's their constitutional duty. And we've kind of blurred that line with the executive branch. I think we need to pull that back as it was originally designed and constitutionally intended. But I think it's also important that we have folks that know what that looks like. You know, and the second thing is, I've had a very successful run in my current office. I show up every day, roll up my sleeves, and get the work done. And we've got really big problems facing this nation. We've got a porous southern border. I was just down there a couple of weeks ago with a good friend of mine, a colleague. He's a recently retired two-star general that brought the first Army troops down to the border to help Border Patrol. And so we were down there talking to the troops and seeing what was going on. And it's a complete failure of the Biden administration. They're basically putting troops down there to stare at people walking around the fence, getting picked up by Border Patrol and being released on their own recognizance. It's a disaster. And it's affecting us here in Montana. It's affecting, you know, here in Billings, all over the state, not just the big cities, but in small towns with, you know, drug issues, cartels doing business in the state of human trafficking. And it's running our law enforcement officers crazy because they just don't have the boots on the ground to deal with this added impact of everything that's happening right now. We need to seal that border. And the other thing that we talked about a little bit on, you know, the feds and fiscal policy is we are spending the American dream out from underneath our kids, our grandkids, this next generation. And that's going to be really hard to bring that back. We need to start fighting for that right now. Because let me tell you, if we continue to overspend, we continue to grow our national debt, you know, at some point, the rest of the world is going to say, why is the dollar the global trading currency? And if they ask that question and they start looking at China, all is lost. And that's not something that we can fix quickly in an administration. That's something that will take generations to fix. And that's going to affect everybody trying to build their American dream there. So I'm a fighter. We're out polling. We're out raising. We're out working. And if there's any opportunity to earn folks' support that are listening to this, I'm at TroyDowning.com. Please take a look. And if you got questions, we're still in a few minutes. Just dial up and ask.
So one question I've kind of been proposing or asking folks, and this is because we I think we all agree on illegal immigration. We're out of time. I'm not going to get a chance to ask my question. Otter Downing, I guess I'll just say thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Thanks for having me. Again, if you have questions, TroyDowning.com, and I hope I can earn your support.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back. Open phones, 406-294-0970.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
I keep looking around in here, and I see Aaron's protein chips here. I'm wondering if I should help myself to a pack of protein chips, or maybe we'll see there. No, I was gonna. I thought this was really important. I wish I had more time with Auditor Downing there. And frankly, if there's any other candidates out there running for office that want to get in on this, feel free to call. Really excited about the rest of the show. We are going to have almost like a Supreme Court hour or the legal hour during the 8 o'clock hour. I think we're going to try to get both candidates for the U.S. or for the Montana Supreme Court on Judge Dan Wilson and County Attorney Corey Swanson, hoping to have them on for a half hour each during the 8 o'clock hour. Got some other real interesting guests lined up in the 7 o'clock hour. But for now, it's just me and the callers. So feel free to call in. We got open phones, 294-0970. Really excited to take your calls. Of course, I really am excited to just have a little bit of a monologue here, too, because you guys know that's one of my favorite things to do, is to just monologue. It's like when I stream on Twitch, everybody's like, oh, you should talk to people, talk to people. It's like, look, I want to just talk myself. The reason I'm here is because I like talking. But no, that's all just fun and games. What I'm going to add, what I think is important, though, is we need to start talking about legal immigration as well. Correct me if I'm wrong, folks, but our concerns are not just with illegal immigration. And the reason I think we ought to start talking about illegal immigration is because we are at an all-time record high in both real numbers in terms of foreign-born population living in the United States and as a percentage of the population. In fact, the foreign-born population is approaching 50 million. And that's probably a low estimate, especially when you take into account the illegal immigration numbers, which I don't think are probably included within this. But there's a whole bunch of stories out there from NPR, from Center for Immigration Studies are the first ones that come up on Google if you actually Google percent of foreign-born in the USA. But we're looking at almost 50 million people in the United States that are foreign-born, almost 15% of the entire population, which is an all-time record high outside of 1890. And, of course, in 1890, the percentage was, I don't know what it was, but it was extremely high because there was so many immigrants coming into America in the 1800s that, of course, in 1890, the percentage was so much higher. But when you're looking at 50 million people in the United States born in another country, 15% of the entire population born in another country, an all-time record high, it starts to raise the question about assimilation, the reason behind immigration. Are the people that are coming here legally and illegally, do they support the U.S. Constitution? Do they support freedom? Do they support America? And it starts to raise the question about how many can we have here from different countries before it starts to impact the general public support for the Constitution and things like that. And what percentage of our society should be people born in other countries? I think that's a fair question. Are we okay? Are we okay with 15% of the population being born in other countries? Are we okay with 50 million people living here? And are we seeing, here's the question, are we seeing assimilation of our immigrant populations into American society and culture in a healthy way, right? Or are we seeing enclaves start to develop? Are we seeing places start to develop where they are speaking a different language, they're not trying to learn English? Are we seeing a big population of immigrants, illegal and illegal, that don't support the Constitution? And so I think a lot of people out there are raising the prospect of maybe cutting back on legal immigration as well as illegal immigration. And so it's an interesting question, I think. And I think it's probably not an easy question for these candidates out there, but I think it's an interesting one. And I'm curious what folks out there in Montana think. I mean, because you'll hear this sort of a lot from Republicans is, hey, you know, yeah, we're against illegal immigration, but we love legal immigration and we want more legal immigration. And okay, we're actually approaching an all-time high percentage of population that's foreign born. We are already at an all-time high of the number of people in America who are born in another country. And so why are the Republicans and the conservatives so ready and willing to say, you know, we need to increase legal immigration? Interesting question, I think. Of course, you know, I think there's a good argument to say, hey, look, you know, we need engineers, for example. Let's just say, you know, pull a career out of the hat. Let's just say, hey, we really need engineers in this country. Okay, great. You know, then I think a lot of people would say, yeah, let's bring in really, really high quality, highly educated, highly skilled engineers. We got American businesses that need them. You know, I don't think anybody's got a problem with that. But of course, we don't have a merit-based system. And that's one thing that Trump has always pushed that I think makes so much sense, is changing our immigration system to focus more on merit and what our economy needs, as opposed to what we have now, which is, you know, chain migration, you know, family-based migration. And of course, you know, I think it's tough to take away that family-based, you know, chain migration, because I think a lot of Americans are going to say, well, you know, look, I'm an American citizen. If I've got family that are citizens of another country, I want to be able to have my family come and immigrate to America. And that's great for that individual and that family. But the question becomes, is that what is best for our country as a whole? Is that what's best for our culture, for the society, all of that stuff? But I haven't heard many candidates talking about, you know, the legal immigration aspect, you know, of this entire question. So that's out there. There's also a lot of other horrible stuff going on out there. I kind of want to just talk about the Tim Sheehy attacks a little bit. I had never actually seen the actual, I guess it's called a citation, for Tim Sheehy's Bronze Star with Valor. I had never actually seen the actual citation, which is a description of what Tim Sheehy did. And I noticed that Aaron had actually had this printed out. I've been busy, so I haven't had a chance to listen to the entire show the last couple of days. But I'm assuming Aaron got a chance to read some of this and talk about it. But what I thought was so interesting is that we've never actually seen this or heard this before now. And I think that is so telling. And it says so much about Tim Sheehy that he would not have exposed this to the public until now, when it would have been so easy for him to do so. And it just shows how humble he is. It shows how genuine these awards were. He's not using them. I mean, you're a Navy SEAL with the Bronze Star for Valor, and he's never even used that to his political advantage. He's using it now and exposing it now as a defense to these vile, vile, disgusting attacks on him. And that's perfectly sound and reasonable thing to do. But he has never put it out there affirmatively to help his political campaign in the past, which says so much. When you have something as impressive as this and you don't use it for your political campaign, I think that is a big sign about who he really is. And this description of what Tim Sheehy actually did in 2012 in Afghanistan is incredible. It truly is heroic. He was
under fire, multiple directions. One of his men got wounded. Total disregard for his own life. He ran 50 meters through enemy fire to aid his man who had been injured. Pulled him from the area, ends up running back and forth, ends up helping the medic get to this guy. He saved the life of his wounded man, ensured the defeat of the attackers. And then this thing concludes by saying, by his bold initiative, courageous actions, and unwavering dedication to duty, Lieutenant Sheehy reflected great credit upon himself and upheld the highest traditions of the United States Naval Service. And it's like, okay, look, I don't care anything else about Tim Sheehy. The fact that that he volunteered to serve in the U.S. military, and then the fact that he actually served in that manner, I think kind of says everything you need to know about him. Because not everybody does that type of stuff. And you can say anything you want about him. You can never take that away. And I just find that so, so telling. Let's go to Gary in Billings. Gary, thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, David. Thanks for the job you do. I wanted to talk about the big article in the paper yesterday that Tim Sheehy is in financial problem, and it's wonder how he donated all the money to hospitals and help everybody else. So this is another prime example of the Billings rags running him down, and they won't stop criticizing him. So can we talk about that, David?
Hey, yeah, we can. Gary, if you will, can you hang on for a second through the break? I didn't realize I took you on here right as we're coming up to a break. If that's all you had, Gary, I'll certainly comment on it right after this. But if you got more, we'll be right back.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
We learned yesterday Biden inflation is through the roof and headed in the wrong direction. It was anything but transitory. You know, we have Joe Biden now catering to his radical base. And in the process, he's standing down in a war on terrorism after Israel had the worst terrorist attack in their history. And he is now aiding and abetting the terrorist group Hamas by pressuring Israel to stop their fight against terrorism, which really is a fight for their very survival. He has abandoned the country of Israel because he needed to appease his radical base.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
More than 200 fire department jurisdictions trust the Knox entry system to provide secure access to buildings, elevators, and control rooms when seconds matter. Now, businesses, schools, airports, several industrial applications are also using Knox entry to manage controlled access and authorize service activity for critical assets. Now, Knox entry allows you to develop a customized access strategy complete with an audit trail and rapid flexibility. Just go to Knox.com for more information. That's KNOX.com.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is RV, where memories begin.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, studio. Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're talking to Gary in Billings about the absolute garbage hit piece by the Billings Gazette on Tim Sheehy's company's financial performance without mentioning any kind of context or reasoning or comparison to other startup-type companies or anything like that. So let's go ahead and go back to Gary. Gary, thanks for hanging with us.
Hey, thanks again for taking my call. I'm an older guy. I think I have some common sense, But it seems to me that there's very little out there in the political field, and you probably deal with more people, you know, that are having issues and trouble. But it doesn't seem to matter to the Democrats as long as they can destroy America. So to me, I really appreciate what you and Aaron do and bring the truth to us. But I'm afraid that if we don't get people to be common sense and try to save this America, how do we turn that tide back? It's getting very difficult to find the truth, especially when we have such liars.
I agree, Gary. So Gary, the newspaper article basically said, hey, Tim Sheehy's company, which is a publicly traded company, and so it has to disclose all of its finances, lost, I think, what was it, $77 million last year. So what was your sort of take on that sort of story and the way they presented it?
Well, trying to understand why it's so important to tear down someone that wants to help us and save America. And then on the other side, Biden can do anything, or a Democrat, and they get away with it. So how is it so that a person like Tim or anyone that wants to help us, how come they're under attack? Like Donald Trump, always he can't even go to the bathroom without someone wanting to censor him. And that's very frustrating. Because I just turned 88 years old, so I have been in politics a lot of years, and I really think that people are just turning their back to save our country.
I agree. I mean, so that was basically my analysis of it, too. And same with the rest of this stuff against Tim Sheehy. It's just so obviously a full-on partisan attack on Tim Sheehy and anything he's been a part of or anything he stands for. And it's so obvious just to try to help John Tester and Democrats win elections. And I find that absolutely disgusting.
You know, when you see John Tester lying about his farm up there, like he's wiping his hands with three fingers working on some type of and driving an old 55 Chevy with a gun rack in the back. You know, how does that man live with himself and get away with lying, and yet Donald Trump can't even turn around? And it's just so unfair for our country. But you bring a lot of things along with Aaron, and I really appreciate every day. I look forward to being to talk about how can we save our country, how we save these people who want to help us. And so that's kind of what I really wanted to get off my chest, David.
Well, thank you so much, Gary. I really appreciate the phone call, and well said, Gary. And I think I agree with all that, and I think most listeners would agree with that. Very, very well said. I mean, my take on this whole on that sort of article is first, number one, when you're a young company, when you're a startup company, it's not unusual to lose money at the beginning. And in fact, all of the big tech companies like Uber that massively grew, they were losing billions of dollars at the beginning. When you're growing a young startup company, and then guess what? When you're a firefighting company and there's not a lot of fires, that also can result in a down year. Of course, none of that was included in the article. Obviously a hit piece to try to help a partisan political views of the Democrats. Disgusting.